Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Gamecast. I am Martin, and we are joined tonight by Sydney.
Hello.
And the Mavericks beat the Orlando Magic 130-124 in really an offensive game. I think the Mavericks did play defense, but the Magic at the very end just started jacking up threes, and they started swishing and made it a little bit closer than we were comfortable with, but yeah. They did get the win 130-124. What are your initial thoughts of the game?
You know, the whole time I'm just watching Kristaps.
Yes. Yeah, we can't get 30 seconds into it.
It's like I can't get away from it. But you know, I started the game that way and I was like, you know what? This is just getting too crazy in my head. I'm going crazy. I need to just watch the game and not, you know, interpret every little thing that he does or whatever. I did still end up watching him for a lot of the game, but you know, it was a good game. It was another good game. Yeah. Like, Luka had an amazing game.
So we'll get into the Porzingis stuff. Let's at least this time analyze, talk a little bit game. about the Magic game. I thought Luka was awesome. He had 33 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. And Jalen Brunson, again, had another huge game, another great fourth quarter. He has really kind of morphed into a really reliable shot creator. Not so much playmaker. He doesn't really contribute very many open passes for his teammates, but he does have a knack for getting his own buckets.
Yeah. He's a good secondary scorer when he's out there.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of fits in the system. I think the system is geared towards playmaking guards. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one reason why a guy like Kristaps is not as featured as prominently, because the system just it's
talking about Brunson,
which
not
is weird since, you know, Dirk was the greatest Mav of all time and that's who Carlisle was coaching, and yet he created an offense that was geared towards a playmaking guard, which they never had outside of Terry, who came off the bench. But anyway, Brunson, it fits really well in this system and he takes advantage of that, and he does a good job.
Well, he's been great since he's been coming off the bench with Hardaway. Now, Hardaway was trash tonight, but you know what?
Was?
Yeah. He had 5 points. 5 points. 2 of 8.
Like,
one
I thought
of five.
He did better than that.
I guess trash isn't the right word because they didn't really need him, and he wasn't jacking up 15 shots. He only shot 8 times. So he kind of was a non-factor tonight. For whatever reason, sometimes it just doesn't go your way that night.
I think,
night.
Like you said, sometimes they don't need him.
Yeah. And tonight they didn't. Brunson really picked up the slack. Luka was torching defenders with his sick handles tonight on the Magic. He had some where it was, you know, something you would see street ball wise.
Yeah, he had behind the back passes, no look passes, crossing guys up, step backs. I mean, he was
to everyone.
He did everything
except
tonight.
Porzingis.
Well, yeah, he did everything tonight. You know, one thing about Hardaway. I tweeted during the game that I really like Hardaway as a Mavericks sixth man. And I legitimately want him here long term doing this, being that guy, their sixth man. And it's funny that he only finished with 5 points. That now I'm thinking, like, man, are my standards that low to where this is amazing? But no, I think he had a really solid game.
It's not fit. Yeah, it's one game.
He's been solid for them.
Yeah, it's so, one game. Like I said, you're not going to. He's been great since he's been coming off the bench.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a night where he carries the offense because nobody else can get anything going. And he's so streaky that he'll hit 5 threes in a row, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So he kind of gets a free pass from time to time. The Mavericks defense, I thought through stretches, they played really well defense, a really good defense. And then I thought through other stretches, they didn't really care. And I think a lot of it was because they kind of recognized they can get whatever they want. They didn't really ever feel like... Like, I never felt like Orlando was going to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Magic.
Yeah.
So
and I know at the very end, Orlando made it close, and I know Dallas has had a history with that. I think this is just kind of a one-off scenario.
Yeah.
Dallas has been doing better late in games. If you look at the shots that the Magic were making at the end, they were literally just jacking up threes, and they were swishing. It happens that way. Now, I would like for the Mavericks to hit their free throws a little bit better. Both Brunson and Luka went 1 for 2. And sometimes when teams make those runs, what's killed the Mavericks in the past is they always go 1 of 2 from the free throw line.
True.
And then they come up, and the other team comes down and jacks up a three and swishes it. And it makes it a little bit closer than we'd like.
Yeah, I think this was like the cliche, you know, team is down by 20 and comes back within five after, you know, two. I think this happens to every single team in the league. And so,
Yeah, and I, like I said, Orlando is just not a good team this year. Yeah. They're 13-22. I think Dallas mentally just knew they were going to win the game. Yeah. They didn't really need to try that hard, and that's fine.
For some reason, this one didn't bother me the way it has in the past with the Mavs, like, losing close leads. I don't know. I think maybe because, like you said, it was the kind of shots they were making. It wasn't like they were fighting back and, you know, getting these good plays. It was like, whatever, that, okay, that shot and, went in.
Yeah, and Dallas, like I said, Dallas has been doing much better this year. There have been some close calls, but they've been able to recover before it got too scary. And that's what happened in this one.
You know what the Mavs are doing a lot better at?
What's that?
Is handling full court press and traps in the in the full court press. Remember last year, it was like teams started doing that after the Raptors did it. That was last year, right? Yeah. And the Mavs just did not do well with that at all. Apparently, it's harder than it looks because the solution is simple. Like, pass the ball instead of just standing there. But this year, they're doing a whole lot better with it, not in just in the way that they handle it and not freaking out, but they've also, you can tell they've worked on getting to the right spot so that you are an outlet for a pass, spreading the court so that you have that kind of domino pass. They've done a whole lot better. You saw how that benefited them in this game.
Well, really, teams don't really prepare much for that kind of defense because you're going to see it within the last 30 seconds when a team is really desperate.
But it happens to the Mavs a lot.
Well, because of that situation. Because
they suck so much.
But I think that, you know, teams are going to do that regardless. You know, Dallas just has to continue to do well against it. Okay, that's enough analysis.
One question.
Yes.
Who do you think is getting the defensive player of the game belt for doing their job?
It's probably going to be...
In addition to the paycheck.
It's probably going to be...
I don't know. I don't know if...
The Mavs didn't play a lot of defense tonight. I guess if I had to pick anybody, I would say Josh Richardson. But maybe. Even the guy he was guarding had a one of his best games of the season in Michael Carter-Williams.
Fournier had an amazing game. I mean, maybe Kristaps.
Yeah, I bet you it's going to go to Kristaps. Because
Vucevic had, you know, 29 points, but, but he did have to work.
Well, Porzingis wasn't guarding Vucevic anyways.
Oh, I thought he was on.
No, Maxey guarded him most of the time. So I think it will be Porzingis. Porzingis did have a couple of times where he moved well. I thought he's moving better on the defensive end of the court. He's more of a factor down there in the paint.
Yeah.
He started off very poorly. I think it was 1 of 8 to start the game.
Yeah, he had 2 points in the first half. Yeah,
he did finish with 17. So 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. And I thought he had some other nice passes outside of those assists. A steal and a block. And his second half performance was much better. And I think he's going to be gone.
I mean, yeah. So like I said, I was just watching him the whole game just to like... see, to try to discern how he feels about things. And, you know, again, it's like I'm discerning things that I see. I could be totally wrong, but I don't know. I thought in this game, when I watched him, I was like, I don't know. Last game, I thought that he looked all upset and stuff. And I think that like, that was real. He did get upset. He kicked the chair and everything. And there was times that he was visibly like calling for the ball and they didn't give it to him. And you could tell that like he slumped his shoulders, got upset. But in this game, I didn't really see a lot of that. They weren't forcing the ball to him in the post. I saw him, you know, cheering and celebrating with his teammates. So I don't know. Like I said, we have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. It's just, it's so weird. And so all I can think about is Kristaps. What is he doing? What does he look like?
How does he feel?
Yeah. And I still have no idea what's going on. It's just me going crazy.
I don't think he's happy at all.
But see, I don't see the same things that you said you saw in this game.
Okay. Well, I don't think he's happy at all. And let me explain some of the things that I saw.
Okay.
Yes. I understand that, there's times when Luka hits a three and Porzingis is on the bench and he's, you know, he's got his hand up saying three or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's happy that Luka hit it.
Or he does like a fist pump for the and one.
Yeah. You know? I think that is more of just what you're supposed to do. I've seen too many situations where Luca makes a decision and he looks visibly annoyed. There's two particular examples in this one. That one where Porzingis was open, Luca was caught in the air, and then behind Porzingis, I think it was Josh Richardson, came running down. And Luca could have passed it right to Porzingis, but passed it over him to Josh Richardson. And you know, it was like, dude, just pass him the ball. You know, he's right there.
He was wide open.
Yes, and that's been kind of the frustration. And then after that, it looks like Porzingis, when he's talking to Richardson, says, "Why won't he pass me the ball?" That's what it looks like.
You're just reading lips.
Okay, well, that's what it looks like. Why won't he pass me the ball? And so when he was shooting free throws, Porzingis was, or whoever was at the free throw line, Luka was laughing at the coach with the coaches because like he didn't pass him the ball, and they were just kind of laughing about it. So there's something going on there. The second point was Luka came down. I think this was in the fourth quarter, and he shot a one-legged fade, bad shot, missed it. Orlando came down, hit a three, made it like an 8-point game. The Mavs call a timeout. The very first play out of the timeout is a Luka post-up. And if you watch Porzingis, he is just annoyed. Like there is no other way to read that body language other straight up annoyance.
Okay, Luka laughing with the coach. Maybe the coach was like, "Bro, you missed Kristaps wide open," and Luka was like, "Oh my god, I'm so stupid."
I'm not saying I interpreted their conversation, but I just I know they were laughing about it because obviously that's been a point of contention.
Or I think maybe they were laughing about, first of all, this is dumb because we have no idea.
I don't know. I think it's easy to read the body language.
I think that they could have been laughing that Luka made a mistake and he was like, "I can't believe I missed like such a wide open play." I mean, I saw all the things of, you know, Kristaps cheering and, you know, celebrating a three-pointer and fist pump after an and one. So I also see the negative things too, but I just, all of it is like me trying to figure out these little clues and stuff. And I just, I don't know. I don't really know what's going on.
Well, look, like I've said from a long time ago, there's just not chemistry there between Luka and Porzingis. There's just not. I don't think Luka is deliberately not passing him the ball.
Right, yeah.
It just, the percentages of all the passes Luka makes, for some reason, they're just not going towards Porzingis' way.
Well, and that happens. I mean, I remember when the Mavs had Rondo and there was a lot of talk about if Rondo and Monte Ellis could fit together. And that was a debate throughout the whole season because they didn't really on the court. And so people started talking about their relationship. And Monte was like, "We get along really well. Like, we'll be laughing and joking around the locker room. It's just on the court, it doesn't really come together." And so, like, I think Luka and Kristaps are fine, you know, as people. I think they get along fine. But for some reason, it just doesn't always translate on the court.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think Porzingis gets frustrated when the ball doesn't go to him. And there's times when it's like, dude, a lot of times he has a case for it. Because of the system, the ball rarely finds Porzingis. Yeah. A lot of that is because the whole point of him being out there is to stretch the floor. Nobody really ever leaves him. So the ball never, they leave Maxey, they leave Dorian. They never leave Porzingis. So he's not as open as frequently as those other guys. And that's just the way the system is. And if Porzingis sets the screen, just him setting the screen helps open it up for the guards. Now, I do think the Mavericks, especially Luka, can do a better job of giving the ball early to Porzingis off those pick and pops. There's so many times when both guys leave Porzingis and stay with the ball handler, and the pass is either late or it just never makes it over to Porzingis. And that does have to be frustrating.
Yeah, and that's like a, it's a phenomenon. I think that's the word I used while watching the game. It's a phenomenon because I know Luka passes it to guys that are open. I know that passing it to Kristaps is generally a high percentage shot. Sometimes, like, you know, that play that we were talking about, he passed it right over him. So it's like, it's this weird phenomenon where I can't explain it. I don't know why it happens. And you're right, like, the system, like I was saying earlier, it really is geared towards playmaking guards, and because Kristaps isn't that, he doesn't get the ball as much. And we talked about that in our last episode of Fancast, how, like, there is a case where he, you know, could rightly be frustrated for not getting the ball more when he's watching Trey Burke and, you know, these other guys mm-hmm. running the offense, and he's like, you know, I can't get the ball. So, like, it makes sense in some situations. And
the sucky thing is, it is more efficient for the guard to be making the play. It, the way the system is designed to spread the floor, exactly, it's just more efficient to have the guards for playmaking, passing, quick mm-hmm. passes. And if Porzingis, like, he doesn't recognize, or maybe he does and just doesn't care, but him just being out there helps the Mavericks' offense to flow the way they want it to flow. But he wants the ball. He doesn't want to be there to just help the offense flow. And I understand that as mm-hmm. a 25-year-old guy who's trying to make his own imprint on the league.
Yeah.
He's not a 35-year-old Dirk who's done it all and is willing to kind of be that floor spacer. He wants the ball. But we saw against Brooklyn, when you force feed the post with Porzingis, even if he's making them, you can see the whole offense stops.
Yeah.
Everything comes to a halt. All the players stand there and watch Porzingis go one-on-one. And it really just isn't a good play. If he makes it, great. Tonight, he didn't.
Yeah. Well, in that game against the Nets, he had like 18 points, and tonight he had 17 points.
Yeah.
Now, he started off cold, but, you know, this is all part of the game. This is how he's performing. Had 17 points. So, I mean, you know, he hasn't been an amazing player,
mm-mm.
at least not thus far. And we've said this again, like, if he turns it around and he becomes a unicorn and he's averaging 23 plus points a game, great. But it's just thus far, he hasn't been that kind of guy. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's a case for him to get the ball more. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like the system is meant for playmaking guards. Should they shift this system a little bit to where it is geared more towards a guy like him? I mean, for all intents and purposes, he is still theoretically the second best player.
If he were consistent and efficient going one-on-one, like if he were Jokic or Embiid, then yeah, like Jokic has the ball all the time because Jokic is efficient. Yeah. He makes the right play. He makes shots. He shows up mm-hmm. when you need him to show up. Porzingis just hasn't done that consistently. So how do you justify that? You're trying to win games. And sometimes the best option is not to go to him in the post. Yeah. And when he's got it rolling going against 6'5 guys like he was against Brooklyn, okay, do it. Fine. Make him happy. And he played well. And tonight his shot, this is the problem with him.
Yeah.
He can't string multiple games together where he's shooting the ball well. He started out 1 of 8. And it's like, dude, just come with the same attitude that you did against Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Make your shots. Like, I don't mean to say that in a mean way, but just if you're going to demand the ball and you're going to say you need to get the ball more often, you need to make your shots. You can't always blame it on the system.
Yeah, I think that it goes back to a conversation that we had about, like, what kind of player is he? Is he the second star or is he the third star, like a Kevin Love kind of guy? And it's nights like against the Nets and tonight where it kind of makes you think he's more like the third star.
He is the third star, yes.
He did get a lot of shots against the Nets, and they didn't do that a lot tonight, but I mean, it was a normal game. He got his shots. He had 18 points and 17 points. You know, that's not second star material. And the second star generally, you know, he gets his numbers. Like, you don't really have to force anything, or he just, it's like Luka. He just does those things. Mm-hmm. And so I think it kind of goes back to that of like, where is he really in that tier?
Yeah. I mean, on a really good team, he's the third guy.
Yeah.
On a bad team, he's the number one guy.
Yeah.
And this is the classic stat stuffer on a bad team. We've seen it for years. You know, Kevin Love in Minnesota, Chris Bosh in Toronto, and I'm sure there's
Bradley
a thousand
Beal,
more.
Maybe,
yeah, Bradley Beal maybe in Washington.
Yeah.
So there might be countless, there are countless players like that.
Yeah.
And I think Porzingis might fall into that category. Now, he doesn't believe so.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't think it's
true. He's still young.
Yeah. There's another situation in the game that, you know, sometimes Carlisle, when Carlisle doesn't like you, I mean, and I mean this seriously.
Yeah.
When he, you're not on Carlisle's good side, you're not buddy-buddy with him or whatever the term is, I don't know. He doesn't treat you right. Mm. And I did not understand for the life of me when the Mavericks were up by like 12 with a minute and 15 to go. They took him out of the game.
Yeah, I thought that was just precautionary.
I just thought that was an opportunity to show trust in him. Like, you had an opportunity to say, hey, we like you. You're mm-hmm. our second guy. You're going to stay in the game till the game is over. You're up by 12. It's a low-risk, high-reward type of move.
I don't know. With his injury history, it might be a high-risk, low-reward type of move.
I just thought it was... but. For the time, like right now with all the trades and how unhappy he looks, I just thought it was an opportunity to forego all that crap and just keep him out there. He did not, his body language on the bench was not good during that minute and 15 seconds. He was not happy with that decision. And I know we say we're reading too much into the body language. Well, unfortunately, his body language is screaming out of him.
It is really over.
Like
sometimes.
It is screaming out of him. He is just not happy.
Yeah, I've seen enough episodes of CSI to know what body language means. No, I personally thought that was just to say, like, because of his injury history, that they were like, you know what, let's just play it safe. And
I understand all that. I just thought maybe because of the other stuff with the trade rumors and him being unhappy, maybe just for this one game, just for this 1 minute,
just
disregard all the injury stuff and just let him play it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I get, like, I'm starting to get tired of talking about it. I think because there's nothing solid, and so it's just, it keeps my wheels turning.
I think you're
turning,
dismissing everything that you see with your own eyes.
Yeah, but in terms of, like, actual news of what's going on, like, I'm just trying to interpret things, and, like, I'm drawing symbols on my wall and stuff, you know, and so it's just, I don't know, I feel like, I wish I just knew what was going on, and since I don't, it wears. Yeah, I get tired of talking about it.
Well, there's nothing else to talk about. The Mavericks beat the Magic. Yeah. They are 17 and 16.
They're a game over 500.
Yes, and if they can beat, I think they play the Thunder.
The Thunder.
On Wednesday. To be two games over 500 at the All-Star break after everything they had gone through would be a huge win for this team.
Yeah, I am. I mean, like 2 weeks ago, would you have, well, maybe 2 weeks ago, but maybe like a month ago, would you have thought that they would be a game over 500?
Not the way they were playing at the time. Yeah. They looked terrible. When they lost six in a row, they just looked like a really bad team.
And we didn't know when those guys were going to come back. No. Or, yeah, it'd be hard to predict. I was going to see, did you want to talk about that Mark Cuban interview and Colin Cowherd or no?
About the free agency? No. Yeah. You know, Cuban's just a salesman. Like, he can say, he's going to say whatever he can to, basically it's a PR move.
Yeah.
You know, to keep everything happy, keep everybody happy. That's why they have a monopoly on the podcast, you know, so it's all positive talk about the Mavericks. Anybody that says negative things are just banned and hated by the team.
Yeah, the Mavs do have really great podcasts, and I listen to all of them, but there's also a need for pods by fans, you know, like we need outside perspectives here. Yeah, I did think it was interesting that Colin Cowherd started this particular segment by talking about why Dallas is so great and why free agents should want to come here. And I was like, did they pay him to say that?
Well, it was probably an agreement. I mean, Colin Cowherd's trying to spread his radio show, and by getting big names like Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
So Mark Cuban say, hey, I'll come on, but you need to sell up
Dallas,
the team, and then I'll sell up your show.
I mean, he went on through this whole list, and I was like, what the?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so Cuban, there's a video that you can see it on Twitter, and so he talked about, you know, free agents coming here, and the question was, like, are you worried, are you starting to get worried that free agents haven't signed here, and, like, will you change your plan? And I just, you know, Cuban said that he's not worried. He thinks that free agents would still want to come here. He was like, you know, we haven't had in the past several years, we haven't had cap space for more than, you know, 4 or 5 of those years. And my reaction was like, Wait, so if you've only had cap space for 4 years, then why the heck have you had this free agency plan for the past 10 years?
Where, like, you're only signing one year guys.
It's like, you can't have it both ways. You can't say every summer we're going after the big name free agent and then be like, oh yeah, well, we didn't, it didn't work out because we don't have cap space, guys. Well,
the,
you know, like,
the cap space thing is stupid.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that, why it's a mirage.
Cap space is a mirage, exactly.
So. Okay, so yeah, we don't have to spend too much time on it. If it's still relevant when we do our next episode of FanCast, maybe we'll talk about it there. Or if you're listening to this, you know, share your thoughts on Twitter.
I think that's it, though. I mean, it was a nice win, and hopefully they can keep it going against Oklahoma City, and we can go into the All-Star break. And then come out of the All-Star break with the same mental attitude, this mindset that they had when they got that free vacation, when that week off, basically, because of the winter in Texas. So, we'll see.
You think Luka will go for All-Star MVP?
Nah, I don't think he really cares.
Yeah, I don't think he cares.
I think maybe later on in his career he will, but I think he's still young. I think he's still just happy to be there.
At least this year he should get starters minutes. Because I think, like, the
last year was he didn't finish the game.
He didn't really play a lot. Yes. Yeah, but this year he should be
I think
prime.
He's kind of earned.
Yeah, the same as LeBron and all these other guys.
But, you know, we'll see. Who's the coach? It can't be Frank Vogel because he got it last year. It must be whoever's number two in the West. Or it'll be the Jazz coach.
Jazz coach.
Yeah.
Quinn Snyder.
So maybe he'll like
And thankfully,
Luka.
I don't think – are any of the Jazz –
Donovan Mitchell. Rudy Gobert. Did he make it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyways,
Who cares?
Yeah, all right.
Until then, guys, thanks for listening. As always, let us know your thoughts on Kristaps Porzingis. I think it's a train wreck. Sydney still has hope.
I have hope.
But we'll find out what happens in the next couple of weeks. Until then, we will talk to you guys after the game on Wednesday. Have a good night.
See you guys later. Bye.